20 years of the top-rated afternoon sports show in Tennessee. This is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hour number three of Sports Talk begins. With Jimmy Himes, I'm John Wilkerson, and always fun when we get to welcome back to the program Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. And to join us, if you have a question or comment for Brent, locally, it's 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. If you're outside the area, you're also welcome to call, and it's toll-free at 866-656-9900. And Brent, it looked like the portal was going to giveth to Tennessee, a receiver from Wyoming, but apparently the portal hath taketh away.
Yeah, welcome to the new age and welcome to the world that we're in. Isaiah Nair, who was here over the weekend and was here with his parents, and Tennessee seemed to be in good shape there, even though he took a surprise visit to Ole Miss before coming to Tennessee. Ends up late yesterday afternoon going to Austin, Texas to go on a visit there. And by lunchtime today, he's putting out a graphic on social media that he is going to Texas and is enrolling in school there immediately and will go be a part of the Longhorns class. Difficult, you know, tough break for Tennessee because I think he's a really talented player. I think he's one of the better players at any position that's in the portal. I don't think Tennessee did anything wrong. When he first went into the portal and Austin had his first conversation with him and you talked to people, there were a lot of people that felt like he was playing in Wyoming, which was 13 hours away from Dallas. And a lot of people just felt like the opportunities were going to be there for him to play in the state of Texas somewhere, whether it was A&M, whether it was Texas or whatever. And he kind of felt like he was going to go back home. And then he surprisingly committed to Tennessee without ever seeing Tennessee. Without, you know, visiting face-to-face with a coach or anything like that, and did not look like Texas was a factor at all. And then Texas made a late push here and wanted him, and there's a lot of, you know, there's NIL stuff involved. That's certainly the case. Tennessee, you know, and I think there was an NIL plan for him. I know there's an NIL plan for him at Tennessee, same as there is with Texas. And now what the differences between the two, were there differences? I don't know the answer to that, but this is the world we're in. Those kids don't sign, you know. If you're in a transfer portal, you show up and go to class, and you don't go to class at Tennessee till Monday. And he goes to class. He'll go to class at Texas tomorrow. They put a schedule together. He may have went this afternoon. I'm sure he'll go tomorrow to start his career at Texas.
Yeah, Austin Price had a conversation with him, and you just Austin was doing a nice job of trying to say, so you're good with Tennessee,
right.
And it's like, so what are you still going to talk about? And he just didn't seem, it seemed like he was pleased with his thought of being a Tennessee volunteer, but just stopped short of saying 100% committed.
Yeah, he wouldn't slam the door on it. And his parents indicated to me on Sunday that they were done with visits and were pretty emphatic about the fact that they were done and weren't taking any more visits. And, you know, obviously that changed, and I don't know if the parents went on the visit to Texas or not, but Isaiah certainly decided to take a visit and did that, and he's gone off to Texas, and we'll play at Texas. And, you know, with his production at Wyoming, if he has a very productive year at Texas this year, I'd say you'll see him on NFL draft boards next year. And he's a good-looking athlete, about 6'4", 210 pounds, and really good-looking receiver, and a tough blow for Tennessee. Tennessee has spent today, I'm sure, looking at other guys in the portal. Receiver and outside receiver is important for this team. Mm-hmm. Finding an outside receiver threat is important. And the tough thing with Nair doing this is the receiver that was at James Madison that is now at South Carolina, Tennessee didn't make a play there because they had Isaiah Nair committed. They were done. And so there's a couple of guys out there like that. There's still some guys in the portal. You could still possibly get somebody in the portal in the spring. If they're an SEC player, they got to go into the portal by February 1st, but you could still get somebody in the spring. So we'll see where Tennessee goes. They are not giving up on a receiver because they need an outside receiver threat opposite of Cedric Tillman. And Nair was going to be that piece, but he's not now.
Brent, I want to ask you about a couple things. One, of Tennessee's returning receivers, who do you think is ready to step up next year? Not quite the way Cedric Tillman did, but at least to step up. Would it be Jalin Hyatt, Mel Keaton, Callaway, or Holiday?
Well, I think Jalin Hyatt, you know, but the problem is, or the not the problem, but the thing with Jalin Hyatt is I think he's an inside guy. I think that's where he's best suited. I think that's where Holiday is. I think that's where Callaway is. They don't have an outside threat unless Jalin Hyatt changes his body and his kind of physical presence at the line of scrimmage. You don't get pressed as much as an inside slot receiver as you do when you're an outside guy. And I think the freedom to come off the line of scrimmage plays a much heavier dividend for Jalin Hyatt than it does him against press coverage on the outside. So in the slot, I think Jalin Hyatt, and I like Valus Jones a lot, but Jalin Hyatt's a different type of player in the slot, Jimmy. I think he can stretch the middle of the field vertically with route running more than Valus Jones can or could. Jones is a little more of a jitterbug, can wiggle and do things that. Jalin Hyatt's game is a little bit more vertical in the middle of the field, kind of open things up that way. You just got to have that outside presence on opposite of Cedric Tillman, if Tillman's going to have the type of year next year that he had this year.
All right, let's take a look at the freshman receivers incoming. Who do you think might be most ready to help Tennessee? Chaz Nimrod, Cam Miller, Caleb Webb, Squirrel White?
Well, I think Webb, as a potential outside guy, the good news is Caleb Webb's going to be here Monday or this weekend, so you're going to get a great look at him. Is he physical enough? But he's certainly a vertical threat guy and is going to be an outside receiver. He's not an inside slot guy. Squirrel White's going to be an inside guy, in my opinion, and a different type of inside guy than Jalin Hyatt from the standpoint he's going to be, quick as can be and kind of hard to catch in a phone booth type of guy with great speed. He's just not very big. So could he help you right out of the gate from a physical standpoint? Is he strong enough? Is he big enough? You know, Nimrod's interesting. He ran a really great time at Tennessee's camp and a workout at Tennessee. And I think that's why Tennessee pushed and went as hard as they did based on that summer camp. He had a really nice senior year. I still find it fascinating that, you know, he basically lives in Farragut to Fayetteville, if you will. And Arkansas did not have a ton of interest in him, which I always, you know, kind of wonder about. But he's a guy with size who can run. How ready is he? I mean, somebody in that group, if they don't get a transfer receiver with some experience, somebody in that group who can play at the outside, whether that's Nimrod or whether that's Caleb Webb, got to grow up fast. Mm-hmm. Got to grow up fast. Now, in this offense, Josh Heupel has had success with freshman receivers. He's had success with first-year receivers, a la Cedric Tillman. Physically, he wasn't a freshman, but he had not done anything of note to this point until Josh Heupel got here. So I think they can get a receiver ready if one of those guys can be physical enough at the line of scrimmage.
And just to continue the receiver conversation, and Jimmy was able to talk with this signee, as you all have, and that is the quarterback Taven Jackson. But Woody Womack, there's a piece that folks can access through VolQuest where he caught up with Taven Jackson. He's really impressed with the group of receivers that come in with this class.
Yeah, I mean, he's spent a lot of time with those guys. He's been with them on visits and spoke with them. And I think Taven Jackson has done a really nice job this week at the Polynesian Bowl, kind of his last all-star affair before he gets to Tennessee here on Sunday. He'll be a little jet lag going to class Monday morning. But it's not bad when you're, you know, participating in that before you come to Knoxville. And I think he's done a solid job there this week throwing the ball. But, yeah, I mean, I think the potential in this group of receivers is really good. It's just if you don't get a polished or an established or a mature, maybe mature is the better word, outside threat, you're asking one or two of those guys. You got to go now. I mean, you got to pick it up. You got to pick up tempo. You got to pick up everything we do. You got to get physical, and you got to do it now, which is, you know, why they have pursued an outside guy the way they have and why they were so happy to have Naylor. Of course, they don't have him now, and we'll see where they find. There's some other guys in the portal out there from other schools, and we'll see where Tennessee goes if they have any interest in any of those guys. I mean, a linebacker from Florida went in the portal 4 minutes ago. Just never know. Boy. I mean, it's a never-ending deal. And for some of these guys, I wrote this over the weekend, and this is a different topic, but you almost feel like if you're an SEC guy and you're not sure, you have to go in the portal.
Yeah.
Now, can you go in the portal and then go ask your coach, hey, I'm going to give you everything I've got in the spring. I want you to coach me like I'm going to be here, even though I may have 1 foot out the door, and let's see where the two of us are at the end of spring practice. Because if you don't go now, then you're shortchanging yourself on the possibility of going to an SEC school. I think this SEC rule of February 1 is dumb, because I think it's telling a kid, okay, you got a new coach, you got to make a decision before you ever work with that guy if you want to stay in the league. Oh, hey, you got to compete for a starting job, okay, but you may not win it and you want to look at your options. Well, if you want to play in the league, you better not even stay and compete for that job. You better go now. I don't like that rule. I don't think that's a very good rule. I think that's a mistake by the SEC to put this rule in, that if you're going to go SEC to SEC, you got to go in by February 1, because it eliminates the competition in spring practice, the evaluation in spring practice of coaches, of players of coaches, and competing for jobs.
I think that at some point, hopefully, that this could bubble to the surface, that you would see there be specific windows, and it makes more sense to have that at the end of the semester as opposed to the start of it, because, I mean, you've got guys now, I mean, even if you have to put your name in by the portal, to the portal by the end of February, it's not as though you can get in anywhere. I mean, you're still going to be where you're going to be for the spring semester or quarter, whatever you want to call it. But I just think that there should be a window that's right there at the end of the last term before summer. That's where you would have the opportunity to move, because you've got the summer to go work out if you go to a new school and you find a new location. But as you were talking about, gives you the chance to work with a coach that might be coming in, or a new position coach, or a new coordinator, any of that.
Yeah, here's the thing, and I mentioned this to somebody in the recruiting world a couple of days ago. I said, you know, I look at it and say, you know, the NFL has a free agency window, right? I mean, you got to kind of declare where you're going to go there in free agency, and then you can go see teams in a set window, and then you got to be done. Well, you could make that window May, the month of May. The downside to that is that's a month that has not got a whole lot going on for college coaches, where you can kind of catch your breath.
Right.
And if you make that the active month of transfers, then now all you're saying is, hey, there's another month where you can't take vacation. And I think we're at risk of running good coaches out of the sport at the college level because of everything that's going on. The year-round recruiting, the way it is, NIL, transfer portal, things going on right now are hard in the college game, because there's a lot of just chaos, wild, wild west out there. If you add more on them to that, I don't know that you can get everybody to sign off on that. But at the same time, too, I don't know how informed decisions guys are making and how informed of a decision a coach can make on a kid in the transfer portal if you've got to make that decision on him between the middle of December and the middle of January, when it's the dead period and two holidays and bowl games in that 4-week span. It's hard to go. You can't go see anybody. You can't evaluate anybody. So you're taking that guy basically blind, which is hard too. There's not a good answer to it, but it is a problem, in my opinion.
That's Brent Hubbs with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Sports Talk continues. To join us, 865-656-9900 locally, 865-656-9900. Outside the local area, still toll-free at 866-656-9900. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen, 865-656-9900 to join us, 865-656-9900. Outside the local area, toll-free, 866-656-9900. Let's say hello to Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Are we going to try to get another receiver to replace the one that's going to Texas? He's going to Texas.
Yeah, I think they will, Steve.
Okay. Do you have any idea who some of the candidates might be?
No. I mean, there's, as I mentioned in the last segment, there are guys going in the portal every 5 minutes. You know, and I think at this point, because of what happened today, and kind of the suddenness of this, I'm not sure the kid from Wyoming let anybody know what was coming. So I think Tennessee immediately went into continued evaluations at that position today, including looking at some guys who have gone in the portal since they got a commitment from Nayer. Just to see where they are with some guys. It's too early to say who they could even get in on. I mean, I can rattle off names that are in the portal, but I don't know at this point that Tennessee has any interest in them or they would have any interest in Tennessee. So we'll just kind of see where it goes here the next 24, 36 hours. I don't know that they could get anybody in for the spring semester. The time on that would be really tight. But, The thing I'm learning about the transfer portal is you never say never and nothing's ever done.
Yeah, I'm not like the news pushes ahead of me. You know, I've been, like you know, I've been really liking the portal.
Yep, and then the portal doesn't like you.
and one of the things with the portal that I think everybody should understand, too, is that, that Tennessee can't take 10, 12 guys in the portal. They don't have the room to do that. I mean, they're up against numbers with where they are in terms of the self-imposed stuff and, you know, just the overall numbers of where they are and try and need to be at, plus the number of midterm guys that they have from the high school ranks coming in. So I think, Jimmy, for a lot of people out there, they look at that and they say, Tennessee's getting hammered in the portal. Okay, and look, they lost a key component today in a receiver that they wanted. They didn't get Jared Verse, who they went really hard after. They tried to get in on the Gibbs kid from Georgia Tech, and he was not interested. But, you know, Oregon, Southern Cal, LSU, Florida, those schools all signed less than 15 players in the December signing period. And they've had many more players leave their program than Tennessee has, so they have room. So LSU can go get a bunch of transfers. They got room to make that happen. Florida, they've got room. Southern Cal has room. Tennessee is in a different number squeeze than those schools who went through coaching changes and lost commitments and had a bunch of guys transfer out, which has given them the availability to go harder in the transfer portal numbers-wise than Tennessee's been able to.
So, Brent, do you think Tennessee will self-impose, well, between 8 and 12, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, yeah, I think so. I don't know. I've told some, I don't think it'll be 15, Jimmy, but it's going to be more than 5. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to go in the middle there at 8 to 12, I don't think that's out of the, I mean, I think that would, it's going to be in that window somewhere there, in my opinion. And here's the thing you can do, too. Jimmy, is, and you know this, do you do it all at once and rip the Band-Aid off and get it behind you? Or do you try to, you know, do you try to sell it to the NCAA, we're going to do this over a three-year period,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that affects the number of guys that you can take in your class, and you're always dealing with numbers issues. There are two ways to kind of skin that cat, if you will. Feels like Tennessee wants to rip the Band-Aid off and move forward, the proverbial speed bump, as Josh Heupel has liked to call it, as opposed to dealing with it over an extended period of time.
And so what you're looking at roughly is they will not exceed basically 75, roughly, as far as the scholarships for this upcoming season. In that neighborhood, right?
Well, it depends. I mean, are you self-imposing back to last fall and then through this spring, and you're doing it a year that way? Or are you going to do it for next year? I don't know exactly how all of that is going to work. If you're fighting that number now, you know, and you know you were under it back last fall, are you going to try to go to the NCAA and say, hey, we've already self-imposed?
I don't know if you can retroactively self-impose.
Well, I mean, why not? The investigation's not over, so when do you get to do it? If the investigation has been going, when do you retroactively get to do it? Or do you have to wait until the NCAA comes out and says this? Or do you go back to them and say, we've already self-imposed?
Well, wouldn't you have had to tell the NCAA we're self-imposing?
I mean, I don't know what kind of conversations they've had there. I know they told the NCAA they weren't taking a bowl ban, but I don't know what other conversations they had with the NCAA.
Yeah, maybe they already told the NCAA that then.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, if you hadn't told them, if I'm the NCAA, I'm not saying no. We're not going with that. If you wanted to self-impose, you had to tell us before you did it. That would be my take if I were the NCAA.
Yeah, and I don't know what they've told them.
Yeah. Okay.
Steve, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. And to join us, 865-656-9900, 865-656-9900. Outside the area, you can call toll-free at 1-866-656-9900.
Brent, also in regard to, let me get your take on this with the basketball team. They end up beating Vanderbilt. It wasn't the prettiest win. They beat Ole Miss. It wasn't the prettiest win. They get clobbered by Kentucky. They got LSU coming up. But what do you think the keys are for this Tennessee team when they play an LSU team that beat them, what 2 weeks ago, roughly?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to take care of the ball. You can't turn it over. They're going to try to force you to turn the ball over. Your backcourt has to take care of the basketball better. I think we all saw Ziegler look like a freshman in that game. I thought the length of LSU bothered him and the pressure bothered him. Certainly Kennedy Chandler had some turnovers as well. You've got to get on the offensive glass. You've got to rebound the ball. You can't let them, you know, bounce it off the offensive glass and play volleyball with it. And then you have to capitalize. And this is one of the things that stands out to me about this team. They force some turnovers. They do a pretty decent, have done a pretty decent job of forcing turnovers. Tennessee has. They don't capitalize enough on forcing turnovers. They don't get enough points off turnovers for the amount of turnovers they produce. Too many times you got a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-1. They don't seem to get much out of it. They don't get easy points that way. Tennessee's got to turn turnovers into points against an LSU team who, if Pinson doesn't play, Jimmy, and they're beat up, you know, banged up a little bit, may have a harder time with taking care of the ball, you know, in this game compared to the first game that they played against them. So I think Tennessee's got to capitalize on those opportunities when they present itself.
Back to the phones we go. It's Greg who's up next. Hello, Greg.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Yes, sir. I had a quick question. Is there a timeline on the portal as far as a window that they can and can't, or is it just open all the time?
Well, you have, if you're going to go SEC to SEC, meaning you're going to go from one SEC school to another as a one-time transfer, you have to be in the portal by February 1. Does not mean you have to be at the new school that you're going to, but you have to officially be in the portal by February 1st if you're going to transfer within the conference. If you're not going to transfer within the conference and you're going to go SEC to another conference, or somebody from the Pac-12 is going to come to the SEC, then that date is middle of May. I don't know that it's exactly the 15th, but Jimmy, it's right around the middle of May that you have to be in the portal and go from there. I think basketball is June 1. You can't go anywhere after June 1 in basketball.
Also, I was going to ask you, how much does the NIL stuff play into these portals?
A lot. A lot.
To me, it just seems like that, and I don't know the specifics, not throwing off on the guy that just went to Texas, but to me it just seems like that, say, Texas A&M offers a kid more money, then suddenly he changes his mind.
Yeah.
And I know that's not the way that it's supposed to be looked at, but that from a layman's perspective, that's the way it appears to me.
No, that's what's going on out there. Now, I think this with the kid from Wyoming, I think that Tennessee, or I think he had a NIL plan from Tennessee that was, I think was a, from what I've led to believe by the kid, was a very, very nice plan for him. But yeah, I mean, that's absolutely what it is. I told somebody the other day, if I were a transfer, if I were a high school senior and I had offers and I knew everybody was going to hold a spot for me, John, I'm not committing early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dragging that thing to the finish line, because when you get to the last 48 hours, everybody gets desperate, right?
Right.
I mean, everybody finds them. It's kind of like buying a car, right? If you keep making that salesman go back to the counter to talk to his sales manager at the end of the day,
yes,
right? There's a good chance if it's closing time and somebody's got to make a sale, somebody's going to get a better deal, right? That's kind of what we're dealing with.
I remember back when this first started, and Jimmy was talking about one of the things that really bothered him was how do you regulate that type of stuff, and to me, it just seems like they're not amateur athletes at this point.
They're not. And now Jimmy makes this point, which has gotten missed. You know, these kids have had opportunities to make money previously, but that means you worked a job, you know, and that wasn't anything anybody went about doing. But no, they're not. I mean, this is a situation where the toothpaste is out of the tube. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of the student athlete, and the NCAA had no regulation and no way to regulate it, no plan to regulate it as of July 1 when it went into effect, Jimmy. The result is it's the wild, wild west right now. And it's not what people wanted it to be when NIL was first talked about. This is not it, but this is what it is. And there's nothing to regulate it, so this is what it's going to be.
The other thing I remember the NCAA saying was, number one, the school cannot pay for you to play. And number two, the school cannot arrange the NIL agreement. Well, number two's out the window because schools are doing it all over the place, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're not formally sitting down and having meetings and saying this is what we're doing. I mean, the school's not presenting anything to it, but...
Well, yeah, they are, aren't they? Didn't Brigham Young say we're going to pay every walk-on player?
But Brigham Young's different because in the state of Utah, the NIL let rules. This is the other problem with NIL.
That's right. I know where you're going.
Around the country, every state is different. So in the state of Utah, the university can do that. They can broker that deal. They can help facilitate that deal. Can't do that kind of deal in the state of Tennessee or Alabama or Georgia. Here's the other thing, too. In the state of California, if you're a high school player, you can cut an NIL deal as a high school player now. Mm-hmm. You can make money right now. You can be a high school senior, and you can make $100,000 in California if you want to.
Boy, wouldn't that be something?
Well, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And here's the thing.
In-N-Out Burger's on me.
Well, here's a question, okay? Jimbo Fisher could have had the LSU job, right?
Right.
A year and a half ago, most people would have said the LSU job's a better job than Texas A&M, based on tradition, fan base, recruiting in the state, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. I think we've all agreed that Texas A&M is by far leading the way in terms of expenditures in NIL, right?
Yes.
So... the A&M job's a little better than the LSU job from that standpoint. Makes it a little easier to recruit. That's why Jimbo Fisher's got the number one class in the country. Well, now, would you say that Lincoln Riley had a better job from a traditional standpoint at Oklahoma versus USC? Probably pretty comparable through the years of history. More recently, Oklahoma seems like a better job. They're moving into the big, mighty SEC where there's more money. But wait a minute. In California, where you're going to recruit your home base, kids can get money when they're in high school. Does that make the USC job easier than the Oklahoma job when you're talking about the lack of rules governing NIL moving forward? Just a thought.
Yeah, could very well. Greg, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much. We'll get a break. We've got a final segment to this hour of Sports Talk, another segment with Brent Hubbs, his appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. A final segment to this hour of Sports Talk coming up. To join us locally, 865-656-9900. Again, 865-656-9900. Outside the local area, toll free, 1-866-656-9900. Brent, it's not this weekend. I believe it's next weekend. But what do you think, having a full season under his belt for Josh Heupel and his staff, when they host a junior day, which I think is next weekend?
No, actually, it'll be Saturday.
Oh, it is Saturday.
They'll hold their first one this Saturday and another one in March. I think it's one of those that if you tried to have one last year, everybody's trying to figure out, you know, who's Josh Heupel, right? And they were not recruiting at Central Florida, in areas that Tennessee's actively in recruiting in. So I think your numbers a year ago would have been tough because you just didn't have any tangible evidence and you didn't have any working relationships. Now you've had a year where people have seen you play. They've heard and seen interviews of players talking about how fun it is to play in this program, how fun it is to be a part of this program, all of those things. And then you've seen you've seen the evidence on the field and the product on the field that creates some interest. And coaches have been able to go out and evaluate those guys in the fall and create conversations through, you know, direct messages on Twitter, phone calls, things like that. So I think the numbers are vastly different this year compared to what it would have been last year. Simple fact that there's just tangible evidence for what this staff and this program is doing and the direction they appear to be going.
Let's get a call from Billy. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Billy.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Listen, can an agent be the one to contribute this money toward the players?
Can an agent contribute?
An agent, yes, an agent that a kid can have when he gets out of college. Can he be the one that helps finance kids going to college?
Oh, I mean, I think if an agent wants to give money to some third party, you know, group that's handling an NIL as a, you know, if you want to do that, you could do that. I think a kid can sign with an agent. I think if an agent wants to get into the business of NIL, I don't think they do. Mm-hmm. But I think if you have an agency who wants to do that, then heck, you could end up having a kid be a part of an agency before he ever goes and plays in college ball. Right now, Jimmy, what's stopping what? Where are the breaks, right?
I can't find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're out.
Yeah. I do think right now, and Brent, I think you paint the picture perfectly. I think in terms of representation, it's more still in line above the table with advisors, like we've seen college baseball players have, that have the option to go into the draft and decide whether or not they're going to stay after their third year. But I do think that, yeah, that's exactly right. You've got agencies in terms of, Jimmy, we've seen it with a deal that was more than $1 million from kind of like a collectibles deal that was an autograph at a quarterback that was going to Ohio State and now is at Texas. Yeah. And who knows, maybe he's sharing that some with Isaiah Nair, but who knows. But I just think that we've already seen things like this, so I don't think there's any question that, yeah, you can have guys that would fund something like an NIL with the notion that, and when you get out of school, we are going to be your representative.
Yeah, and yours is the guy you're talking about. I think that is, it may be going on right now with what you're talking about, where they bring these guys aboard to represent the sports agency, and maybe they're out there getting a cut of some commissions. I don't know where it stops. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I got one more question before I get off. Is the LSU coach that got caught on tape buying players, is that over with? Nothing really happened?
Nothing's happened yet.
We're only 5 years into this.
That's
There's
right.
still a long way to go before the NCAA has to rule.
But just to follow up on that, we just saw the punishment, little as it was, for Auburn in regards specifically to that. So who knows? Yeah. Right now, it looks like everything's just fine for Will Wade.
Well, and here's the thing, too. There's a story out, I think it's at Sports Illustrated today, that's talking about the restructuring with the NCAA and giving more power to conferences and more power, you know, where there's going to be some separation with kind of the bigger schools and some of the smaller schools. Some of the stuff that we've been talking about, super conferences and all that, seem to be a little bit more and more on the table. Jimmy, as that comes about, then you get back to the question of who's doling out punishment, right? Is the SEC going to punish Will Wade? Are they going to be the ones in charge of punishing Will Wade? Oh, is the NCAA infractions committee going to exist? Is Will Wade just holding out, right? Just hold out till there's no longer there, you know, till your statute of limitations is up. I mean, it's not changed his life. Okay, I mean, he's coaching and is going about his business the way he wants to, and continuing to put his team on the floor and coach every night. So I don't know when there's going to be a resolution. I don't know how much the NCAA is going to have the ability to give a resolution, which is why you wonder about Tennessee and their punishment in this situation, Jimmy.
I think giving conferences the authority to punish is a can of worms, because I think you would see a lot of inequity. You see some inequity in NCAA overall right now. Mm-hmm. But you might look at and say, well, you know what? That school's doing well. That coach is doing well. They can get in the Final Four. They can get in the college football playoff. We're not going to punish them, because it's better for the conference if we don't.
It's why college football, college basketball, particularly college football right now, needs a commissioner. Somebody needs to be in charge of the sport. The problem is, I don't know how in the HE double hockey sticks you ever find a way to get everybody to agree on this guy's in charge.
Right.
Yeah.
But you've got to have some type of somebody in charge. Otherwise, it's the biggest bully on the in the playground that's going to ultimately end up winning out. And that's the concern that you have with college athletics, but particularly college football where it's at right now. Salaries are out of control. Okay, the cost of doing business is higher than it's ever been. It's only going up, and there's nobody governing or overseeing or saying, hey, what's the vision for what this sport looks like 3 years from now, 5 years from now? Mm-hmm. There is no long-range vision going on that I can see based on everything I read every day. Now, some stuff I miss, but I don't know who's got here's the roadmap to this sport for the next 5 years.
Brent, what's going on these days at VolQuest?
We got, obviously, more recruiting, continuing with the transfer portal. New guys are going in. We're digging to see if Tennessee's making calls and see where that's at. We've got the War Room tomorrow. Certainly more basketball coverage to get you ready for Tennessee and LSU on Saturday night. We'll have coverage from Tennessee's Junior Day on Saturday as well. Plenty of things happening right now.
Sure enough. And you got your guys working overtime, whether it be Rob with basketball or everybody else with recruiting. It's you can find something, that's for sure. One day to the next, plenty of new content.
Yeah, and I've got my feet propped up, set back trying to stay warm in front of the fire.
You were doing some basketball stuff earlier this week.
A little bit here and there.
Yeah. Brent, always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Brent Hubbs joining us for his weekly visit. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Coming up, hour number four of Sports Talk. We've got comments and coverage in regards to both Vols and Lady Vols basketball. And up next, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Stay with us for hour number four of Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.